to the students, it would be catastrophic to the staff, it would be catastrophic to the Joliet area. Because just remember, when you're looking at those numbers, well, budgetary things, that's human capital. Those aren't just numbers.
Lawmakers on the panel will vote on the governor's closure plan, but their opinion is only advisory. I'm Sam Hudzik.
And that's our noon hour report of WILL News. The news is always available at will.illinois.edu.
WILL programs are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal Street in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. As an area of low pressure tracks towards the Tennessee Valley today, isolated showers could be possible from central Missouri through the southern half of Illinois and into Indiana. By late this afternoon, a strong high-pressure ridge building across the Great Lakes will bring cool and dry air into the area on a brisk northeast wind. As this cool air mass settles over the region, frost will be possible for parts of the Midwest and Great Lakes by tomorrow morning. High temperatures today will range from the low 50s across northern Wisconsin to near 70 degrees in southeastern Missouri. Overnight lows will range from the low 20s across northern Wisconsin to the mid-40s across southeastern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois, a freeze watch has been posted from late tonight through early tomorrow morning for Champaign, Vermilion, DeWitt, Piatt, Douglas, and Ford counties. This afternoon, becoming mostly sunny with a high in the upper 50s, the wind from the northeast at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear and cold. There will be areas of frost after midnight. Expect a low of 33. The wind will be out of the northeast from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 58. The wind from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear, the low 35. The wind from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny and warmer. Look for a high in the upper 60s. The wind out of the south from 5 to 10. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers after midnight. We'll see a low in the upper 40s. Sunday, sunny with a high in the mid-60s. At noon central time, temperatures across the region ranged from the upper 40s to the upper 50s. There was a mix of sun and cloud. At Rockford, 52 degrees. At O'Hare, 48. In Bloomington, 55. Mattoon, 56. Carbondale reported 59 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 51 at South Bend. At Lafayette, 53, in Indianapolis, 55, Terre Haute, 57. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 54 degrees. The dew point, 30, the relative humidity, 40%. The wind out of the northeast at 16, the barometer, 29.95, and steady. And at 1240, 55 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Six-term Republican U.S. Congressman Tim Johnson is expected to announce this afternoon that he is leaving Congress at the end of his current term. Just last month, the 65-year-old Johnson won his party's nomination for a seventh term in Congress, this time in the redrawn 13th Congressional District. His apparent decision not to run, little more than 2 weeks after that primary victory, leaves a lot of questions, including why he's leaving and why now. I'm joined this afternoon by Illinois Public Media's News and Public Affairs Director, Craig Cohen. So that's the big question, I guess, is why is the congressman leaving? Do we yet know why?
We do not yet know why. He has called a news conference for 3 o'clock when we will hear directly from him. At this point, all we can confirm based on sources in his office is that, yes, he is going to announce he is retiring at the conclusion of his term.
Okay, and that announcement is set for the Urbana City Building.
That's right.
So he did a stint there as an alderman, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So why now? I mean, he went through this campaign to win the nomination. Why now?
Well, there could be any number of reasons. He could have come to this conclusion very recently. He may have specific reasons in his personal life that compel him to retire now. Time will tell. But it is curious that he is making this announcement just 16 days after a primary in which he garnered 68% of the Republican vote. Illinois Public Media has been reaching out today to one of his GOP opponents in that primary, as well as other Republican officials, with some key questions. Among them, is this fair to Republican voters? Since he's announcing this after the primary, GOP voters won't get to select who replaces him on the ballot. That responsibility now will shift to Republican county leadership in the county and statewide, or rather in the 13th district, and they could put forward most anybody to run. So we're going to ask GOP leadership not just for their reaction to Johnson's impending announcement, but also whether there was any strategic effort here to intentionally time the announcement after the primary. If so, what does that say about how seriously Congressman Johnson or anyone else who knew about his intention not to run felt about his two challengers in the primary or anybody else that may have run had they known that Johnson wasn't going to run? So there's a lot here, a lot of interesting wrinkles in this particular situation.
Okay, so that's the big one wrinkle that you talked about just now. What are some of the others?
All right, well, there are two other big ones, I think. One is the fact that the Democratic primary was so close. Dr. David Gill of Bloomington, who Congressman Johnson's defeated three times before in a general election, wound up narrowly ahead of Matt Getten in the Democratic primary on March 20th. Getten never officially conceded. The race was so close, within a couple hundred votes. The result of that race should be certified by the State Board of Elections on April 20th, and it would seem likely nothing will change. Gill will be the nominee. Well, the Gill campaign's been operating as if that's the case, that he is the nominee. They've been doing that ever since March 21st. But this does leave a situation where if Johnson does, in fact, announce his retirement as expected today, we won't know the Republican nominee for the 13th Congressional District, at least for a while. We also won't have any measure of ability to say for certain Gill is the certified Democratic nominee. So it just sort of adds to this overarching sense of uncertainty surrounding the 13th District. And then that uncertainty is also impacted by that other big twist in the race, which is simply the fact that this is a newly drawn district. The 13th takes the old 15th district map. It eliminates some conservative-leaning communities and replaces them with some liberal-leaning communities in Madison County and the Metro East area near St. Louis.
Okay. And, you know, that I wonder if that could be a big factor here, because one of the things Johnson has been known for throughout his career is his hands-on relationships with his constituency. And I wonder if redistricting has played a role in that.
Well, and this is really tough, and it would be a challenge for any congressman to try and traverse the entire district. But in this case, we're talking about a district that runs from here in Champaign-Urbana, from his hometown in Urbana, all the way to the Mississippi River. That's a lot of ground to cover for anyone. And that is entirely possible that he took a look at the map and took a look at the math and said to himself, well, I'm not sure I can do this.
Yeah. Who might be installed to replace him on the ballot?
Well, there's no way to know for sure. But as you mentioned in the newscast just a few minutes ago, State GOP Chairman Pat Brady mentioned State Representative Dan Brady, former State GOP Executive Director Rodney Davis, and former Johnson Chief of Staff Jerry Clark as possible candidates. Clark's been working for another congressman, but he still maintains a residence here in Urbana, so he's still technically residing within the district.
And then there are the two candidates Johnson faced in the primary.
That's right. And we're going to hear from at least one of them later this afternoon in our coverage. It's an interesting scenario because he won that primary so handily and the two challengers were so far behind. But you wonder how things might have shaken out had he decided much sooner that he was not going to, in fact, run for re-election.
Okay. So what can we look forward to from your news team throughout the day?
Well, of course, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers will be covering Congressman Johnson's announcement at 3 o'clock. He'll have reports for us during All Things Considered. We're talking with Republican Party leadership, the Gill campaign, of course, Congressman Johnson's office. We have an in-depth report plan for All Things Considered today at 4:45. By that time, we should have a pretty good sense of what Congressman Johnson and his staff are saying about his reasons to retire. We're also researching some historical context. Jim Meadows is working on that right now. And of course, as always, we encourage you to stay tuned to AM 580 and FM 90.9. And you can read the very latest information online all the time at will.illinois.edu.
Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you, Celeste.
Greg Cohen.
¶¶
The Illinois House bid their adieu to the latest member of their ranks set to leave for a lobbying gig, Amanda Vinicky reports.
It was a heartfelt goodbye for Chicago Democratic State Representative Marlo Colvin from his colleague Connie Howard.
You know, I've always looked at you as one of our best and brightest young people, and I'm certain that the company that you're going to be working for will be much better because you're coming.
Colvin is set to resign his seat to take a high-ranking and presumably high-paying post with ComEd. He'll be the electric company's vice president of legislative and external affairs. In other words, its head lobbyist. Although representatives gave him a round of applause, Colvin was uncomfortable getting a send-off just yet.
I was kind of hoping to sneak out of here without saying anything.
His transition raises ethical questions, like what it means when a sitting legislator leaves for a job in which his main objective will be to influence and pressure his former peers. ComEd and its parent company, Exelon, scored a huge legislative victory recently when the General Assembly allowed it to raise rates to pay for updates to the power grid. The sponsor of that legislation, former State Representative Kevin McCarthy, a Democrat from Orland Park, also recently joined ComEd's government relations team. Colvin says for now, he's still proudly representing his district as a member of the General Assembly, his voice breaking as he spoke about it.
I've always loved politics and people and government and spent much of my career in those fields. And coming here and working with all of you to accomplish just a few things to maybe make life better for people in the state of Illinois was really my only goal and expectation.
Colvin says he'll have more to say in a couple of weeks when his new position is official. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Illinois Public Media's spring fundraising drive starts in a few weeks, and we want to keep the drive short and our member support strong. So for every $25,000 we raise before April 13th, we'll deduct a full day from the drive. It's our way of thanking you for helping us reach the April goal of raising $250,000 in membership support. Please do your part to shorten this drive by contributing online right now at willpledge.org. Thanks so much.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 5th of April, 2012. It's the birthday of Thomas Hobbes, Westport, Wiltshire, England, 1588, who witnessed a chaotic time in English politics, two civil wars, the execution of the king. He wrote his most famous book, Leviathan, in the midst of it, in which he argues that people need a strong central authority to keep them from collapsing into war and chaos, a world with no arts, no letters, no society, and which is worst of all, continual fear and danger of violent death, and the life of man solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. He believed that because we don't share the same ideas about what's right and wrong, we need a sovereign to enforce a set of laws. It's the birthday of the poet Algernon Charles Swinburne, London, 1837, born to the aristocracy, so he never had to work for a living, which gave him the freedom to be outrageous. He had wild red hair, he drank to excess, he screamed his poetry aloud while he was skipping around the room, and he wandered around Oxford at night screaming blasphemies, wrote poems about sex and sadomasochism and vampires, which shocked the Victorians and which nobody has read ever since. It's the birthday of the father of antiseptic medicine, Joseph Lister, born in Upton, England, 1827. He was a surgeon at the Glasgow Royal Infirmary, where about half of all patients in surgery died later of what was called ward fever. The prevailing theory of infection was that it was caused by miasma, or bad air. But Lister thought that infection might be caused by an invisible dust like pollen, so he experimented with using carbolic acid to clean wounds, and he required his surgeons to wash their hands before and after surgery, which was completely new at the time, and the mortality rate in his ward dropped to 15%, and a couple years later, down to 5%. And it's the birthday of Robert Bloch, born Chicago 1917, the novelist who created the psychopathic killer Norman Bates in his novel Psycho, which Alfred Hitchcock made into a famous movie. Robert Bloch, who liked to use comedy in his stories, he said, "Comedy and horror are opposite sides of the same coin. I have the heart of a child. I keep it in a jar on my shelf." Here's a poem for today by Gary Young, entitled "Shadows Passed Over the Mesa." "Shadows passed over the mesa, and I saw six eagles sail across the valley. They rode thermals until they were almost out of sight, then dove and swung back in circles over my head. The air seemed in